The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, an exciting time to be in Israel.
It's absolutely extraordinary. I've been watching today's events unfold, actually quite emotional and awestruck. It's the largest diplomatic mission in the history of Israel, but it's more than that. It's about what this mission represents. And yes, there's a lot of criticisms and there's a lot of controversies, but the emotion, the spirit, and the timing of this forum in Jerusalem couldn't come at a more important time. And just on a personal note, today, looking at all these women leaders from around the world celebrating 100 years, and then looking at events in Jerusalem, I was awestruck by the fact that we represent triumph over tragedy. That in one corner of our country, in our capital, we are commemorating the worst time in our history as the Jewish people, and then looking out at these incredible women who will be leading the future. And it's extraordinary, and this is what makes Israel such an incredible place, is these paradoxes and the emotions that we have. And feeling very emotional today, guys, and not just because I had a cinnamon bun on Kaki's recommendation.
And just tell me, just in terms of living in Israel at the moment, has your life been turned upside down, just in terms of simple things like driving from Modi'in to, I don't know, wherever, the roads, you know, a nightmare?
Jerusalem is a nightmare. The city of Jerusalem has been turned upside down in what they are calling Operation Future. We've had at least 10,000 extra police and security presence around the street. I mean, there was a little bit of a scuffle yesterday with French President Emmanuel Macron at one of the churches in Jerusalem. It's a church that traditionally belongs to France, and the police or the security entered before him, and he shouted at them. He told them to get out. He has since apologized because he understands from Israel's perspective now, we have to do everything we can in our power to protect the delegates, the leaders, the royalty that are coming here. It was very, very moving to see Prince Charles arrive last night, go to Beit HaNasi, the president's house, be warmly greeted by the president, who may have stuck his foot in it a little bit. He said that he would love for Her Royal Highness or Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth to visit, but at the advanced age of 93, she doesn't visit. But I think Prince Charles's presence in Israel is particularly emotional for all of us, because for so many years we've waited for the British royal family to visit us. Last year we had Prince William. No, I didn't stalk him. And this year, Prince Charles. And very moving to see him planting trees and meeting with Holocaust survivors. Also very moving is the president of the Ukraine, President Zelensky. He himself is Jewish, giving up the space of his delegation at Yad Vashem, saying that this commemoration is all about Shoah, all about the liberation of Auschwitz, and giving up his delegation space to survivors. There's been quite a large amount of criticism that the amount of delegates has kind of outweighed the amount of survivors. But I think one of the reasons for that is the president is hoping that the world leaders that have come to Israel, Putin, Macron, Nancy Pelosi, Vice President Mike Pence, will go back to their respective countries and do something, as we say here in Israel, tachlis, in fighting anti-Semitism. All of the world leaders, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, have touched on the threats that we face today. President Macron spoke about xenophobia. Prince Charles spoke about the fact that today we are still hearing words of hatred, and they are still very much permeated in society, and we're seeing this manifested in acts of horrendous anti-Semitism around the world. And Mark Pence saying very, very strongly that the United States will not tolerate a nuclear Iran because of what this could mean for the Jewish people.
So is there going to be a conference document at the end of the day where everybody kind of subscribes to agree to a certain set of principles or something, given rising anti-Semitism throughout the world? Or is this just a talk fest?
That's an excellent, excellent and very, very important question. We're hoping that we're going to see some kind of working plan that will be adopted. We do have IHRA, which is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition on anti-Semitism, that addresses discrimination, it addresses Holocaust denial, and it also, very importantly, addresses the right of Israel to exist and equates anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. And the latest countries to adopt or endorse IHRA are Italy, who have adopted it, and Sweden, who have endorsed it. And a lot of comments coming out saying, congratulations, Sweden, that you've endorsed it, but now we need you to adopt it. Sweden is a country where there are increasing incidents of anti-Semitism. We need you to adopt it and implement it.
Yeah, one hopes. It was kind of weird because I was watching the preparations up to the conference and they were interviewing the chefs who were cooking the food. He was talking about the different meals that were going to be served to the dignitaries. And I thought, really? Really? Is this the important part? The kind of food that is going to be served in such an incredibly important event. So yeah, I fear that, that the emphasis might be put on the wrong parts of this conference. But, that's just a personal view. Rolene, Egypt apparently cracking down on Hamas.
Well, Egypt have come out very, very strongly against Hamas, saying that they need to cease and desist with these arson balloons. As we've spoke about over the last couple of days, there has been an increase in the volume of arson balloons being sent over the border from Gaza into Israel. And the new MO of Hamas and of these terror groups, and we know it's with the intention to disrupt the proceedings in Jerusalem and also to take advantage of what they see as a lull in government. But what we've seen now are bombs, Molotov cocktails, grenades attached to the bottom of these balloons. So it's not necessarily the fires that they could start, but it is the damage that they could do to human beings, causing serious, serious injuries. And, of course, the trauma, especially for generations of children now in the South, who now see balloons, who see kites as symbols of terror rather than the toys that they are used to or the symbol of parties that they are used to. So Egypt, which many people forget that Egypt shares a border with the Gaza Strip, and Egypt also cracked down quite significantly on Hamas. You know, the emphasis is always on Israel. Here we see Egypt taking a very, very tough stance against what they see Hamas doing.
Okay. I want you to address the Nama Izzachar issue. I was just saying I think Israel has paid too high a price to obtain her freedom, which I believe was going to be granted in any event. What is your take on the issue?
Well, there is a lot of criticism. It's an important statement. A lot of people have said, why is Israel giving land, or Israel is giving a property, rather, in the old city of Jerusalem in response to her release? And it does seem to be a high price. Earlier today, President Putin met with Nama Izzachar's mother. He said that he will see her safely home. And we are assuming that what this means, or rather, he said that everything's going to be all right. And what we are assuming is that she will be released, she will be pardoned and brought back to Israel. But it has created quite a bitter discussion in Israel. You know, at what price do we have to pay? And also, it's soured our perception of the Russians, of their role to play in the Middle East, because it's a lot of ask for the release of somebody who was sentenced disproportionately to her crime.
Roby, almost out of time, but Michael has got hold of us via Telegram saying, already IDF announced a new laser weapon to fight off the fire balloons. Is it operational?
It is operational, and that's a good question. Thank you, Michael. It is operational. We're calling it our Iron Dome against the balloon arson attacks, and the IDF have very, very effectively been dealing with these balloons thanks to this technology, which is proof of Israeli ingenuity. Whenever we have a challenge, whenever we have a threat to security, we will do our utmost to protect our citizens.
That's where we leave it today. Rolene Marks, as always, thank you so much for your input and your insights. Shabbat shalom to you, and look forward to chatting to you on Monday.
Shabbat shalom, Ro.
Shabbat shalom, folks. Shabbat shalom, cats. God bless, guys.
Cheers, cheers. Bye.